So how many people enjoy just meditating on who God is? And like song and worship helps us to do that, right? We meditate on who God is. And the word is very important too. Like those songs are based on the Bible, you know, biblical characteristics of God. And we base our meditation on the word. And I was thinking, like, this week, the messages are always, but it's a meditation on the word of God, right? As we go through scripture, we're meditating on who he is. And I saw this on Facebook. Does anyone know of any meditation groups in Culpeper? And I was like, I don't think they're talking about church. As a matter of fact, I know they're not. But, you know, like, we're supposed to meditate on the word, right? We're supposed to meditate on the word. And that's what we're here to do, really. We've read it. Hopefully, if you're not, you know, start. But, you know, we like to hear it again. We like to hear it again because that's a meditation. And, like, you are the one we adore. Like, we love his word. We eat it. It's our sustenance. And it's like, it's a romance in the Song of Solomon. You know, like, he is a romance. And we love it. And so as we study his word, last week we went through where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We talked about past milestones of ourselves and others, and just testimonies. And we sang happy birthday to Will, you know, saying he's a testimony. He's walked with God a long time. He's still walking with God. He's not quitting. The character and nature of God, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And that's probably the big one for me. You know, like when you worship, you're worshiping around those aspects of who God is, you know, like he's faithful. He's love, you know, like this, who God is. We look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And today we're going to do the body, or the flock, local assembly, church, lampstands, people of God, you know, us. And then from faith, the Holy Spirit, and we choose to trust. So with that being said, the body. Lord, we just pray that you'll bless this message. Just touch our hearts today, Lord. Give us a meditation on your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And the context is the body. The context is us. There's one faith. So, you know, we're not supposed to compare ourselves amongst ourselves. Well, that person has a lot of faith. I don't have enough faith. You know, but actually, as we walk with God, like, we're all following the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day. We're one body, and we trust and we move together. And, like, as we worship in the worship songs, I sensed an anointing, and I was like, like, it was beautiful, you know? So we're one body, we have one faith. And Romans 1:12, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. We can't underestimate this. We can't underestimate this. Don't forsake assembling yourselves together. It's very important. Very important to be in the flock, be around the body. There's a spiritual protection, and it's a mystery. There's something that happens with other believers, and one of them is that we're encouraged together in our mutual faith. Stand fast in one spirit and one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Sometimes, you know, walking by faith is striving. We're supposed to rest, but we're to be diligent to enter the rest. It kind of seems like a paradox, right? So, like, we rest, but together, like, we have problems, and we fall, and we mess up, and we get discouraged. But guess what? So does our neighbor. So does the guy or gal sitting next to you, and you don't even know it. And we're here striving together. We're walking with God together. And it's a like precious faith to those who have teamed like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. It's so precious, but it's also the same. We eat precious is like unique. You can't replace it. But I have a precious faith and you have a precious faith. It's the same faith. It's yeah. 1 Thessalonians 3:2. And he sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith. Visits encourage us in our faith, right? When someone visits us, I get encouraged. And like that's half the reason I went to West Virginia, to encourage the pastor out there, to encourage the body out there. You know, if someone could be won to the Lord or a disciple could be found, that's awesome. But even if not, we encourage each other. There's an encouragement. And so we love visits, and we should have that in mind when we visit other people or other places. I heard a testimony this morning. I guess she's teaching Sunday school. They went to visit another church, and she just felt this burden to pray for this guy in front of them the whole service. That's the body of Christ. She visited him and encouraged that church. You know, Philemon 6, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. We share our faith. Hebrews 6:12, that you do not become sluggish or slothful or lazy in your faith. Anybody ever been lazy in their faith? Yeah, I think everybody could say they've been lazy in their faith. Don't become that. But imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You think of one person, Mason. He was like the Energizer Bunny. I mean, he was going. But he wasn't like in a hurry, so to speak. He was just consistently. And he had that, what's the opposite of lazy? Driven?
Diligent.
Diligent. He was diligent. There we go. Diligent. And so, like, imitate someone diligent who through faith and patience inherit the promise. So we follow men, right? We find somebody who's diligent. We imitate them. But we don't worship them, right? Philippians 1:23-25, for I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. I mean, you can say amen to that. It's far better to depart and be with Christ. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you, and being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you for your progress and joy of faith. That's amazing. Like, other people with us can give us progress and joy in our faith. But he eventually departed to be with Christ, right? And then those people became disciples. Other people's testimony. We talked about this a little bit, but I like this verse. And this is part of the body. Like, all these are interconnected, right? It all works together. I'm trying to break it down, but it's really interconnected. They were hearing only, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God in me. Testimonies are important. Maybe there's somebody here with a testimony, and we could hear that they were sold in slavery under sin, and God took them out of a miry clay and set them on a rock, and we could glorify God in them. Anybody got a testimony? Like, we want, yeah, okay, when do you want to give it? Like, not next week, but soon, right? Okay, so maybe we'll talk in a couple of weeks, but we want some others too. We, you know, I think, Alice, you'll do it? Okay. So we'll plan those out and think about, like, and I think once you hear other people's testimonies, you'll be more willing to give your own too. So the first ones are that their faith will increase our faith. You know, we'll hear theirs and then we'll be like, yeah, I'll give mine too. Titus 1:4, to Titus, a true son in our common faith. When we gather, our faith increases and we share it. It's common. It's interesting. It's not my faith, not your faith, but it's our faith. It's our faith, the common faith. But then there's another aspect where it is my faith and your faith too, but... okay, continuing in the body, being fathered or discipled in the faith. And it says call no man father. It also says call no man teacher, yet there's a gift of pastor teacher and teaching. So these seeming dichotomies exist. But in here, you know, Paul called Titus and Timothy his son in the faith. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. So we need people to disciple us. And a disciple is a follower or imitator. And I learned that in an InterVarsity Bible study class that we went on a retreat. They had like a seminar. But I saw it at Greater Grace. They didn't say... a discipler or a disciple is this, and to imitate, it means imitate or follow. They just did it, you know. And it's like there's this freedom in that. But basically find somebody that is walking by faith and follow their faith. And then also look for somebody who needs encouragement and bring them along. And yeah, Paul called them his son in the faith. And we're supposed to make disciples, which we think of them as like apprentices, right? But it literally means imitators or followers, which is kind of what an apprentice is, right? He learns by imitating or following somebody. And so... like if you have an apprentice school, I went to an apprentice school, and you have class time, and then you have on the job time, and you learn almost everything you know on the job time. So I don't think you could really go to an apprentice school on YouTube, you know, because you have the class time, but you need the on the job time too, to be an imitator or follower or an apprentice, a disciple. And we need that. And we should look for that. Look for people to follow and to lead. 1 Thessalonians 3:10. Praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. There's something, nothing's lacking in my faith. You know, like, there's something like, you know, like, maybe today it was, and I got here with you guys, and it was perfected. You know, what was lacking. And part of that is like when we look in each other's eyes, there's a light, a countenance. We have the countenance of God on us. It's like the Shekinah glory. And so I don't know if, see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. That might be two things. It might be one. 1 Timothy 4:67, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the doctrine which you have carefully followed. So he carefully followed not just the doctrine, but the faith. So have you ever met anybody like that? They know everything about the Bible, and they're correct about everything, but they really don't have any faith. You know, we want to follow doctrine and faith. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. So that's how Timothy was discipled by Paul. Titus 1, 12 to 13. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. Wait a minute, that's a stereotype. This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. What? Rebuke them? We can't do that in America. We can't rebuke somebody. That's against our culture. We're independent, right? But this mindset, this American mindset of independence has spilled over into the church. And we're not independent. We're dependent. And Proverbs 12:1b says, he who hates correction is stupid. Proverbs 17:10 says, rebuke is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows on a fool. So, like, we need to be able to receive that. We're, like, not get defensive and be like, I have my own mind and my own way, but to receive things like that, you know? Because, why? It makes us sound in the faith. It makes us sound in the faith. And with that being said, I'll say a penny saved is a penny earned, right? So we have true teachers that we follow, and then we got to be careful about false teachers. And their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection has already passed, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows who are his. It's not really in theme with the message, but I really like this part. The Lord knows who are his. It sounds like those people who had their faith overthrown are still his. You know, there's a verse that says in the end times, even the elect will be deceived. You know, like, if we're without faith, he remains faithful. Anybody ever found that to be true? You're like off over here, and then you're like, oh, God, thank you that you are faithful, because I'm not, you know. I've noticed, anybody else notice, there's a lot of new doctrines today? A lot of new doctrines. And I'm not saying that people in the past couldn't have been wrong here and there, but I'm just saying, be careful when you hear new doctrines. Be careful, you know, like, really think about it hard before you just go following them. And Hebrews 13:7, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. It's in the Bible. And so, do we follow their flesh? Do you follow my flesh? Did you know I have a flesh? You have a flesh. Everybody has a flesh and can get off, right? We don't follow the flesh, but we follow the faith. We follow faith in Jesus. And then, where else does faith come from? From faith. Romans 1:17-8, for in it, talking about the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. So faith begets faith. Faith begets faith. And we talked a little bit about that with, like, the heroes of faith. We have heroes of faith. We have testimonies that inspire our faith. But also our own faith begets faith. You know, Luke 17, he met 10 lepers, and they lifted up their voice. They said, Jesus, have mercy on us. And then he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And they weren't healed yet. But as they were going, they were healed. So they listened. They believed enough to go show themselves to the priest. And they were healed as they were went. How about in Joshua 3, when the priest stepped into the Jordan River's high over its banks, flowing fast. Anybody ever been to down to the Rapidan or Rappahannock, and it's like muddy and up? You don't want to step into that. They stepped in by faith, and then it stopped. But it wasn't until they stepped in by faith. And guess what? When it stopped, they had more faith. Because they started saying, hey, we serve the God who held back the Jordan, you know? And it helped others to have faith, too. How about Naaman? He had leprosy, and he wasn't healed until he listened. And he went and washed in the Jordan 7 times. But so he had enough faith, just a little bit, to step out in faith. Faith begets faith. Another place... Maybe this should have been at the top of the list. I don't know. The Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We have the same spirit of faith. That could have been in the body too, right? It's the same spirit, and it's a spirit. You have a spirit of faith. 1 Corinthians 12:7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given, and it lists a bunch of gifts, verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So we get faith from the Holy Spirit. Acts 3:16, the faith that comes through him, that's God, has given him this perfect sound. He healed, the lame man was healed. And in Romans 10:17 again, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When we hear that word, the Holy Spirit's speaking to us. And then we can choose. We can choose. And this, they all interlap. I'm categorizing them, but obviously we choose to come to church, right? We choose to come here and be around the body. We chose that. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, putting on the breastplate of faith. Hey, wait a minute. I thought it was the shield of faith. But it's also the breastplate of faith. Breastplate of righteousness and the breastplate of faith. Breastplate of faith and love, actually. But who puts it on? We put it on, right? We put it on. Taking the shield of faith in Ephesians 6:16. We take the shield of faith. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace. So flee youthful lust. And one thing, we run away from it, right? We flee. There's like 3 things we flee from in the Bible. Idolatry, youthful lust. I want to say it's the love of money maybe. But we run from it. So so he's given this picture. You flee youthful lust, but you pursue righteousness, faith. You pursue it. You run to it. Anybody run into church this morning? Get out of the car. Run in there. If you're late, but I mean, we run to it. We run to it. Pursue it. Chase it down. Philippians 1:27b. I may hear of your affairs that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Striving together. That's like an intentional thing we do, right? That's a choice we make. 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Who did that? Paul says, I have. He said he did it. And what did he do? He kept it. He could have just given up and not fought, right? But no, he kept it. He had to fight for it. And we fight for the faith. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common faith, salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. It sounds corporate. It says, Concerning our common salvation, that's corporate, right? It's like everybody. I found it necessary to write to you. It'd be interesting to look that up to see if that you is plural. Exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith. So together, we're contending. We're fighting. What does that mean? Don't quit. Don't quit. You're in the fight. You could quit. But don't quit. Fight. Jude 20. Anybody ever seen Rocky? The whole theme of Rocky is he had a hard head and he was determined, right? He didn't quit. You know, he's like down and they think he's out, and then he gets back up another round and he finally lands a good one. But don't quit. Don't quit. Fight. Fight. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy unto eternal life. We talked about last time the nature and character of God. He's eternal. The love, the mercy. And this is tying it in with faith, his nature. And, you know, every public speaker, a public speaking class or whatever tells you always end on a good note, right? But is God bound by a public speaking class or a, you know, homiletics class or something? Like, no. So we're going to end with a warning, and that's actually a good note. If we're like, if we're mature about it, we'll be like, yeah, that's a good note. We can lose faith actively, walk away from it, or passively. Just do you choose to stay awake? Do you choose to pay attention? If I gave you $1 million, could you really focus and pay attention? If I gave you $1 million, if after the end of the service, there'd be $1 million at the door for whoever pays attention the most. You could really focus, right? It's all a matter of motivation, right? Like, are you listening? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's a different kind of attention. It's not just logical attention. You're really, like, humbly listening for the Holy Spirit. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. So one time, my mom won it was either a luggage set, something else, or a camera, right? And it was like 50 minutes from our house. She won it. All you had to do is go look at these timeshares. So we went there, and I'll never forget it. I was a kid. She was crying by the time the last manager got through with her, and they gave us this cheesy plastic camera. And so Legia won a cruise. And so for our first anniversary, she wanted to go on this cruise. So we went, we drove to Miami, and I said, I don't want to do this. I don't want to listen to these people. And I walked in there. I am not buying a timeshare. You know, I was like, I'm not giving heed to these people. And so we get in there, and I told the lady, I said, look, I didn't want to be here. We don't have the money for a timeshare, and even if I did, I wouldn't buy one, and you're not going to convince me. And she said, well, let me go talk to my manager. She comes back. She said, it's your lucky day. I have to move today, and I don't think you're going to buy one. She gave us the cruise, and we didn't have to go through the spiel. But the point is this. Don't give heed. Don't give heed to their sales pitch. Don't give heed to doctrines of demons and deceiving spirits. It said, they departed from the faith, giving heed to these things. Make up your mind, you're not going to listen to it before it comes. 1 Timothy 5:8. He said, this guy denied the faith by not providing for his own family. Now, there's other verses you can balance with that. Don't work, you don't eat, things like that. Who else denied Christ? Peter. Peter denied Christ 3 times. I bet he would have given anything to have taken that back once he saw Jesus, right? But it was too late. He'd already done it. And 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are without faith, he remains faithful. And Jesus came up and restored him. But still, like, make up your mind, you're not going to deny. We can stray. 1 Timothy 16, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, you could do a whole message around that probably, but we're just talking about straying from the faith. A sheep can stray from the flock. A child can stray from her parents. How does that happen? They're not paying attention, right? So we used to have this little game. If we go in Walmart or somewhere, and one of the kids would start daydreaming and looking at something, just standing there, we'd all run and hide behind some clothes or something and watch. The kid be like, "Where'd my mom go?" And it taught them to pay attention, you know. That was what we were trying to teach them, to pay attention. And then also, with that, you really want to pay attention, but we can choose to look somewhere else too. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So we start looking, probably the biggest place we'll look is ourselves, right? We'll start looking at ourselves and either pride, I've got everything, and that we don't actively say this, right? But you just, things are going well. I can do this, I can do that, you know, I'm smart, da 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 da. Or Satan will condemn you. Condemnation. I'm a no good, dirty, rotten. And we start looking at ourselves instead of at Jesus. And we need to not stray that way. Hebrews 2:1. These are all intertwined, right? We must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. So straying and drifting are kind of similar, right? Ephesians 5:15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly. You know, when we walk circumspectly, we got to really be careful that we don't walk off the stage, right? So, if you're walking on a hiking trail and there's a big cliff next to you, you pay attention. The circumspectly comes from the word acrobos, which is like accurate or acrobat. So an acrobat, if he's walking a tightrope, he's paying attention to where every step he makes, right? He's paying attention to that. So walk circumspectly, carefully, not carelessly. We don't want to walk carelessly. We want to pay attention. And so another little example with the kids, it got to the point where maybe we weren't disciplining the kids enough and they weren't listening. And so I told them, I said, if I know that you're within my range and that you should hear me and I call you twice and you don't turn around and acknowledge that I'm talking to you, there's going to be a consequence. And lo and behold, they heard me. You know, they turn and acknowledge me, you know. It's like, wow, look at that. They could hear me all along, you know. They weren't paying attention. They didn't think it was important, you know. But, yeah, so we need to pay attention. We stay with the shepherd. We stay with the under-shepherd that God gave you. We stay with the flock, right? Because the shepherd is with the flock, right? If you're following the shepherd, you look around, you probably see some sheep. Because shepherds watch over sheep in groups. That's generally what they do. Yeah. So faith is a mystery. We talked about that. And so just to wrap it up, think in your mind. And you might have another category. If you have another category, tell me after. It'd be interesting. But think in your mind, what are the things that we went over? What are the categories? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Past milestones of ourselves and others. God brought me through this. He kept me. Even when we weren't saved, you look back and you're like, man, it's amazing I'm alive, you know. The nature and character of God, looking unto Jesus, all those aspects. Us. Faith, when we step out in faith, he meets us, right? The Holy Spirit, and we choose to have faith. And they're all intertwined. It's one faith. But we walk before God, and we stand before God alone. At the Bema seat, our wife or other people aren't going to be there with us, right? We have this vertical alone with God by faith. We follow the faith of others, Hebrews 13:7. We receive faith in the body. We contend for the faith together, and it's a mystery. And step by step, he leads us, and he leads, and we follow. So let's pray. Lord, just help us to walk by faith, Lord. And when we fall, to put our trust in you and your nature and your character, who you are. Help us to know who we are in Christ and to trust you, even if we don't see it, Lord. We trust you. We trust you with our families. We trust you with our friends. We trust you with this church. We trust you, Lord. We trust you with these end times and all the deceiving spirits and the different doctrines going around. We trust you. Like, just look to the shepherd, Lord. If there's anybody here who doesn't know Jesus, you can have a shepherd. You can have someone to follow who is all-knowing, all-powerful, eternal, and loves you unconditionally as your Father. Just cry out to God. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just accept Jesus. Say, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross to pay for my sins, and I receive that payment. And we just pray that we can all trust you, that we trust you, and we do. We trust you together, and help us to encourage each other too, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.